Now, this morning we are having a slightly different format, as you will have noticed probably on that inside back page of your feast brochure. We have split sermons that have been prepared for us just for today, and the first one will be brought to us by an elder who lives and works and serves the church in the Yuma, Arizona area. You'll notice as he speaks, he has a slight Canadian accent because there are Canadian brethren who come down to Yuma every year. They're called snowbirds, and they come year by year, and so he's picked up on some of that Canadian lingo. So to give the first message to us today, an elder from Yuma, Mr. Randy Love.
Good morning. Beautiful day in the Feast of Tabernacles here in Branson, Missouri. Here we are, day 7. Has it been a joy that you've been here this year? Yes, scream out. Yes. Absolutely. I do want to thank our great God for having me and my wife be here this year. One of the things and one of the wonderful blessings that I can say is truly a delight for me is that there are more people of average height here. I love this. Average height. Other feast sites, I'm like this. But now I can do this and a little bit of that. So, but it's been a great, great and wonderful feast for us. As Mr. Wazelkoff was saying, there's plenty of Canadian brothers who come to us each and every year, and it's a pleasure to serve them also. Well, today, God has truly given us a taste of that wonderful world to come. We've enjoyed the fruits of this feast. Here we are, day 7, and God has laid before us a table filled with those fruits of that spiritual food that will give us life. Every feast for me, this is 31, they get better. You know, I would hear this from brethren of old who are no longer here with us, and they tell me that you will notice that every feast will get that much better. And that has been the case. That has been the case. And from that, I have learned that through the years, there are things that we need to know, things that we need to do. For us to be successful in our Christian lives, we must have something beneath us that will hold us up and give us the strength to endure. Every person here in this room has been called. God has a plan for you. And without the years that we have walked upon this earth, we need to build. We need to build that we should stand in the day of trouble. I will talk about today our foundation. The things that I will talk about are not new. There is absolutely nothing new that I will say to you, but the things that I will say to you today will be the things that will bring remembrance to your mind and what is important in our spiritual lives. God has brought us here to this feast site for this purpose, that we stand before Him, reaffirming our commitment. Those 7 holy days, high holy days that we observe each and every year, we tell God, we love you, we love your way of life, and I bring myself before you to reaffirm that. Now imagine your house without a foundation. Now, I've seen houses without a foundation, and they unstable, they move, And eventually they just go away. But God the Father, before time began, considered our foundation as we are called children of his family. Now, why would I say that? Because if you look in Romans 8 in verse 29, Romans 8 verse 29, what did he say? He said, for whom he foreknew. Wrapping your mind around those statements and those words is daunting. He has predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That's you. Many. He's laid out a plan for you and for me, and the foundation that we will need to make our Christian lives work. Without the foundation, brethren, our lives will be meaningless. What we do will be meaningless. As we sit here today and this past week drinking in these messages that have been presented to us, we must continue. And today we're going to talk about our foundation, how you care for it, and how you maintain your foundation. We'll look at some things here that are not new, but they're basically into our everyday lives as we walk upon this earth to thank our great God that he's given us this opportunity. God requires this foundation. Anything short of that is nothing. Trouble comes our way. Think about the small troubles that we've encountered so far. Because we've heard over the past few days about a time that's coming that has never been before. Imagine that. And just, I think, on a small bit of trouble that I've had over my past 30-some years here in the church, is nothing compared to that. He has given us peace in the valley, that our foundations are sure, and that when that day of trouble comes, we will not be moved. And so in Matthew 7 and verse 24, it says, in our spiritual life, anything short, we must build on a rock. And who is that rock? What is that rock? Our elder brother, Jesus Christ. He has given us a glimpse of how we should build our foundation. Let's read in Matthew 7 and verse 24. It says, therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Jesus Christ is our sure foundation. Isaiah 28, verse 16. We can look no further. Isaiah 28, verse 16, a sure in precious stone, he is. And so we take these words and we look to our elder brother for guidance to build that foundation. Because if we don't begin our building of that foundation correctly, it's wrong. Every Sabbath, every high day, every feast, every last great day assures us of the direction that we need to look and to build. And I'll ask the question, what must we do to build and to strengthen our spiritual foundation that will not be shaken or destroyed. Let's think about that for a second. What must we do that will assure us that it will not go away? Just the other day, I was on one of the history channels. They was showing examples of tsunamis. They started with Japan, and about the rushing of the waters and where everything just went away. It just disappeared under the force of that water. And I had a moment of reflection at that time. I said, you know, will my foundation be strong enough to weather a tsunami? The ruler of this world wants your life. He wants your foundation to go away. He wants it to be porous. He wants it to be in a state where the slightest breeze, it will fall down. It will go away. And so many of our everyday spiritual endeavors we have committed to over the many years, we must continue to do. And I make a point every single day to get on my knees and ask God as I walk into the world to work, that there will be things that will try to sidetrack me, that will try to ruin and destroy my foundation. Many of you who are still there in the world, we're all in the world, but some of you no longer work, and the situation is getting more and more dire. See, once our foundation has been established, a starting point, we can assure ourselves that God says he will never leave us. Is that not so? We have been given something that the world doesn't have. We are just like the world. We look, eat, drink water, breathe air. But God has opened our minds to a dimension that they cannot understand. And we're here today reaffirming to God and thanking him that he has given us this opportunity. But what I'm going to talk about also is what you know and what you do with it. There's a gulf between those two points. What you have in your head and what you absolutely do with that knowledge. It is mentioned, doers of the word, not just acquire and sit on it. It is about doing. So the foundation that we will look at today is about care and maintenance of that foundation. The word care, you paying attention to it. And I will begin with this first point here of prayer. Ephesians 6 and verse 18, what does it say? Ephesians 6 verse 18, it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. How far would we go without prayer. Starting point. Next point is meditation. Many of you may have a farm where you have areas that have brush, rolling hills where you can just walk. I don't have that. I live in the city. But it gives you time to reflect on the beauty of God and what He has given you. Think on these things. Psalms 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97, it says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." And what I've started to do, since I've led songs for a number of years, is especially around Christmas time, those jingles, they just go and go, and they get in your head and say, where did that come from? And then I start thinking about the songs in the book that we sing every Sabbath. And just replace them. Helping me to focus my mind and attention on God. Fasting. Next point. Some look upon fasting as, maybe. I won't do it unless I have to. But that's an important ingredient as a Christian. I just recently gave a sermon on atonement about fasting, and that day is required by God. I mean, you can fast throughout the year, but that fast on the Day of Atonement is a commanded one. And I told them that this is the day that you bring all of your garbage. Bring all of your baggage. God says, I want to check it now. You open the ones you don't want to open, and you put them in front of God. Fasting has a very important place. You can do this in good times. Not only when trouble blows through the door, but we can use this as a handy tool. Study. Next point is study. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 25. It says here, I applied my heart to know, to search and to seek out wisdom and the reason of things, to know the wickedness of folly, even of foolishness and madness. King Solomon was walking through here. But also, we must keep in mind that God looks at us and expects moderation. Moderation in our lives. Neither looking left nor right, but straight ahead. Because in Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 12, it says, of making many books, there is no end. And much study wearies the body. We must be focused on when we sit down and study. You carve out the time you need to sit down and do what you want to do in that period of time. If you find yourself consumed with study, 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 I mention the word moderation, that we must be moderate and temperate in how we look upon these words and in God's words, because He wants these things to sink in. Because if you're running from pillar to post, nothing sinks in. Next point is fellowship. 1 John 1 and verse 7. It says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we think that we will lock ourselves away from the brethren and not fellowship, it's not going to work. As we read, we must be temperate, moderate. We must get out and go see the brethren. There are plenty of things for us to interact with each other. I mean, there's some of us who live in places where the Sabbath is the only time in the week that we pretty much get to see each other. But we must not neglect fellowship. If you're able to be at the Sabbath services, be there. In Proverbs 27 and verse 17, here we see, as iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Fellowship is why we must continue to do so. This is what we do. We're here at the feast. We're enjoying each other's company as people have not seen in a number of years, and it's just a joy to absolutely be here and to be a part of this. Next point, Sabbath services. We must never fall into the thought that I've had a rough week this week. I am tired. I'm not going to go. I'll probably get a phone hookup or something. No. We must participate. Deuteronomy 5 and verse 12. Observe the Sabbath day. Keep it holy, as the Lord your God commanded you. And so this is face time with our Father and his Son. I do remember years ago, a good friend, Mr. Ellis LaRavia, who was one of the assistants of Mr. Armstrong, and he kind of communicated some things that went on behind the scenes with Mr. Armstrong. And when he was up in his 90s. At some point, he would be backstage in Pasadena, you know, waiting to go on stage, and he would say, oh, Ellis, I can't do it. I can't do it. And in a flash, what did you see? Mr. Armstrong, 90 years old, with energy, banging on that desk. That's all God. That's all God. And I look at that example of God giving me the strength to be at Sabbath service, to honor him, to bring myself into his presence. Last point, the feast. Feast observance. I've known people who've not attended, who could have, but didn't. Leviticus 23 and verse 2. Here it says, speak to the children of Israel. Say to them, the feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be a holy convocation, these are my feasts. Notice those last two words. These are my feasts. God's feasts, not ours. And he's making it very clear. Appointed times in verse 4. Holy convocation, you will present yourself. If you have the means, and God has blessed you during the course of that year with saving your tithes and doing what you're supposed to do as a Christian, you present yourself to God. Now, as I mentioned, there is a gulf between what we know and what we do with that knowledge. Maintenance. Now, we've just gone over the things that we know to do, right? Maintenance is about the execution. God has an active plan that requires execution. There's no time to sit on this knowledge. It is time to put it into action. So with this set plan, God protects us. He blesses us. He gives us the wisdom each and every day to sidestep the evilness that's in this world. Second Corinthians 6 and verse 6. By purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, verse 7, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. These things God has set before us. And he tells each and every one of us that he will never leave us. That if we're focused on him, his spirit, the sincerity of his love, his kindness, his grace, we will continue to stand. Our foundation are sure. But for us to continue to stand in God's sight and to weather the storm, Ephesians 6, verse 10. Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, power, rulers of darkness of this age, spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And so in verse 13 it says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand within the evil day, and having done all, to stand. If your foundation is not sure, ask yourself, will your foundation stand? That is a conversation between you and God. That is the conversation I have every day. Looking at my faults and presenting them to God, and how am I going to strengthen myself to walk past them? God gives us the time. closing the gulf. Doers of the word. Romans 2 and verse 13, it talks about doing. James 1 and verse 22, same thing. Doers of the word. We must continue to build our foundation in Jesus Christ, because he is the model. He is the model that we emulate, that we build our foundations like his. We must be mindful each and every day. It is a continuing process, because if we overcome one day and jump for joy and forget, then we slide back. Is a continuing building process. And in my mind is, put your foot on the gas pedal and don't take it off. Because if we do, we change. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, at the trumpet of God, the dead in Christ will rise. Whether we still draw breath when Jesus Christ returns, or whether we wait in the grave, we must build and continue to build on our foundation. Can't stop. Cannot stop. Must continue to move forward. Because Satan is breathing in your ear, whispering every second. Just stop. Take a break. Just rest a moment. Some have. Good friends have. But the purpose in my life is to continue to go forward. We can't help them if we are not ready. I use the analogy of an airplane. You're in flight, something happens. And they always tell you, well, you know, if this happens, these masks will fall down. And this is how you put them on. Well, picture yourself with your 2-3 kids and you there with them. Something happens. The masks fall down from the ceiling. What do you do? What is the first thing that comes to your mind to do? No. Well, probably, in my mind, I would think to reach over, put Susie's mask on, Bobby, then Johnny, and then put mine on. No. You put yours on first, then you put theirs on. Because what if in the middle with that second child that you lose consciousness? Air deprived. And so for us to go forward as Christians, this is what we do. We have to prepare ourselves and be ready to help our elder brother when he comes back in bringing peace to this earth. And speaking to that foundation, let's look at Isaiah 46 and verse 10. Isaiah 46 and verse 10. declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, God speaking, and I will do all my pleasures. You think God set this up willy-nilly? That everything that you look at right now, he did in the spur of the moment? No. God really doesn't have any concept of time. He just made this little bubble for us to build his family. Times mean nothing to God. He's eternal, ancient of old, always been, always will be. But he thought about the foundations of this world. In Isaiah 48 and verse 13, he speaks, indeed, my hand has laid the foundations of the earth. My right hand has stretched out the heavens. And this is the most amazing part. When I call them, they stand up together. They all have a name. He thought about the process. He thought about the foundation. Scientists are still perplexed about how this universe works. They've used their supercomputers to build a universe. And as soon as they put it in motion, it just fell apart. There was something missing. Trying to know the mind of God is an enormous task. But God gives us a glimpse, as we just read. He laid the foundation of the earth. He stretched the heavens that we can see his glory. There are beautiful places on this earth that our eyes see in just an absolute wonder. And he did this for us. Matthew 25 and verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34, and says, then the king will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from where? From the foundations of the world. Always a foundation with God. And this is what he's building into us, and to have that mindset, that thought process of always a foundation, always. This is why God gives us the time, that our foundation must be firm, must be built on the principles of our elder brother Jesus Christ, that we will be worthy to be included in that kingdom. With a solid foundation, the invitation has been extended by God the Father and Jesus Christ to us, and it's sure. For us to cross over and enter into the kingdom, God's going to look at your foundation. There's no getting around it. God speaks about men in their talk, their lips, but their hearts are far from him. He goes to the matter. Bring the things of what's your name? And we will develop a plan for you to overcome. Our foundation must be properly maintained. Not having that knowledge, that's not good enough. It's the doing of that knowledge is what counts. God has given me the tools and given you to properly maintain this foundation. in John 7 and verse 37 and 38. On the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink." Jesus Christ is telling us to fill our spiritual vessels to the full, that we may live. Let us close this sermon with these powerful words from Scripture that has always comforted me over the years, and I hope you. They are filled with hope from our Father in Jesus Christ, who loves us very much. Luke 12 and verse 32. Luke 12 and verse 32, it says, "Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom."